Okay, yeah, please take your seats. Aren't the band awesome? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, you can clap them if you want, yeah? Right, I've got another joke for you. I've only got two more jokes, just to warn you. All right. So what's orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot! Is that good? Do you like the way I did that as well? Whenever there's a punchline, I do this. I don't know why. I just do it. And there is another one. What was the other one? I can't remember. Should we just get Stu to come and talk to you? All right.
Yeah, you laugh, but I have to share an office with him Monday to Friday. I walk in the office and I've got a joke for you. Oh, forget it, bro. I'll just come back later. Okay, so... you all look gorgeous. All packed in there, by the way. I just thought I'd tell you that. Okay, so I'm going to look at what does the Holy Spirit do? And I'm going to be talking about some things in relation to my own life and the Holy Spirit speaking to me and guiding me in certain things. I just want to, I've been a Christian 19 years, so these aren't things that have happened in the last 6 days. I don't want you thinking that my life is like that with loads of like awesome things happening like every few minutes, but I'll tell you about some of those things. But we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit actually does. And, Jesus said to people that we should be born again. You know, some people say, are you one of those born again Christians? Well, there's no other type of Christian. You're either born again and a Christian and going to heaven, or you're not. The Bible's very clear on that. Jesus is very clear in his teaching. You either are on the narrow road to life with Jesus in heaven, or you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and there isn't a middle road somewhere. And Jesus wants us to be born again, and that's an awesome experience, to be born of the Holy Spirit and born again. It's like wiping the slate clean and starting again. I became a Christian when I was 37. Done loads of things wrong in my life, and having the slate wiped clean and starting again, I could not contain my joy at that. Have all of the guilt of my life lifted off me. It was just awesome freedom. And, Jesus wants us to be born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, born into the kingdom of God, born into the family, to be part of a family. You know, you're all sat here today. If you know Jesus, you're related to everyone else that knows Jesus, not just in here, but all over the world. Christianity is the biggest people movement on planet Earth, despite what David Attenborough might tell you on the BBC. It's the biggest people movement, the biggest family. That's an awesome thing. In my family, when I was growing up, my dad was really strict. My dad came from an upper class background. He'd be shocked if he heard me say class. It should be class. But anyway, he was born in an upper class background. His dad had been a lieutenant colonel in the army. His granddad was a general. And, before that, lots of generals and stuff. And my dad had been in the army when he was young during the war. Been a captain when he was 21. He was sent home from India, where he was brought up, to go to boarding school when he was 8. He saw his mum once a year after that. Can you imagine that at 8? Coming home from boarding school, from India to England, by boat to boarding school. And saw his mum once a year after that. Didn't see his dad again. I think he saw him once in between then until when he was 17. So my dad grew up with some sort of pretty difficult family, and particularly dad issues. You can understand that, can't you? And he was pretty strict with me. And when we used to walk, well, we didn't walk, we marched. My dad marched everywhere. He just did, As soon as he got walking somewhere, he's one of these big sort of handlebar moustaches, and he marched everywhere. He was also in the special police constabulary, so when he got his uniform on, he was even more marchy. So when I'd walk along with him, he'd go like this, keep up, keep up, keep up. And I'd have to run as a little kid to keep up with him. I never actually walked alongside him, and I couldn't get there. I would just get to him, and he'd speed up again and keep up, keep up. It was really strict and difficult. But our God's not like that. He's not running away from you. He's not clicking his fingers and putting rules and regulations on you to keep up with him at all. He's not like that at all. He's the sort of dad that would pick you up. When your little kids say, I want to carry. So you're 18, walk. No. And you're like, and you, yeah, you're 31, go home to your wife. No. It's God's like that. He wants to carry us. That's so much easier, isn't it? When you're shattered and you just want to be carried. I went for a walk once with Martin's kids in the hills. and there's lots of kids to carry. Everybody wanted to carry all the time. I thought, bah, this one's heavy. It was Martin. No. So, when my dad became a Christian in his 70s, and he was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, he was a totally changed man, totally humble. When he was coming towards the end of his life and he was quite ill, he was actually dying, I was at his house one day and we were upstairs potting around doing something. And he walked to the top of the stairs and he like stumbled as if he was going to fall. And he reached out to grab a hold of me and I kind of spotted him at the same time. We grabbed a hold of each other. And he said to me, I wasn't too hard on you as a son. You know, remembering all of the what life had been like for us growing up. And I said, it doesn't matter, Dad. It doesn't matter. You know, when you come into a relationship with your Father in heaven through the Holy Spirit, nothing matters. Nothing else matters. To come into a relationship with God, there's nothing like it. To be forgiven by God, to have a relationship with God. I was doing an Alpha course in Kirklevington prison a few years ago, and this Muslim guy said he wanted to come in. He said, can I come in? I said, yeah, come in. The other prisoners didn't want him in. There was a bit of an argument at the door, but he came in anyway. And I was talking about this, about God being our Father and having a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And this lad was Oscar, he was called. Anyway, and he said, he was really annoyed. He said, how can you say that you know God and can have a relationship with God? God is unknowable. I said, well, that might be your experience. I said, but my experience through the Holy Spirit is that you can know God. You don't know everything about God, but you know enough to know that he loves you and that you're one of his kids and want a relationship with him. You know, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life has set me free. Have you been set free? To come into a relationship with God, to be born of the Holy Spirit, is to be set free. Set free from what? Everything. Anything. Set free from the love of money. Set free from sin. Set free from death. Set free from hell and eternity in hell. And to come into a relationship with God. We are his children. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And when the Bible talks about sonship, ladies, that includes you. It's sonship because it's to do with their inheritance on all that the Father has belonging to sons. That's where the sonship comes from. That includes women as well. Sonship. To be in a relationship with God. It says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit isn't something that comes on the outside. It's not, the Holy Spirit isn't something you kind of can get close to or get close to another person. It's not like that. Or wearing something on the outside. The Holy Spirit is about being filled on the inside, filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are his children. And nothing can deny that. Once you know that, there's nothing like it. You know, people sometimes say to me, well, I can't see God and I can't touch him, so it doesn't exist. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your spirit, it's as if you can see him. I mean, my wife here, Marion, you know, it's like somebody saying to me, your wife doesn't exist, and I can see her, and I can touch her. She's real. She talks to me. I listen to her all the time. She listens to me sometimes. No, I'm kidding. And it's as real as that. When the Spirit of God testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God, it's as real as that, and nothing can deny it. When I'd been a Christian for a little while, I had a dream one night, and God spoke to me. Remember, a couple of times in the last 19 years in dreams, and this one particular time, I had this dream where the phone rang and I picked it up. I knew immediately that this was God. I picked up the phone, and my brother sang happy birthday to me. Now, my brother had died of cancer. My brother had been a Christian. He had quite a distinctive sort of baritone voice. He was a good singer. And on the phone, he sings happy birthday to me. And at the end of singing happy birthday to me, he laughs a little chuckle, which was his little chuckle. And I put the phone down. I woke up. I was shocked. I'd never had a dream where God had spoken to me before. I was shocked. I was like, unbelievable that this has happened. And I got out of bed. And as you know, I've got a false leg. I don't wear it at night. Put it in the wardrobe. No, I don't. I got out of bed onto my knees. And I thought, happy birthday. Why would God send me a happy birthday message. It's January. My birthday's in April. Birthday's in April, 21st of April. 21st of April, no. And I thought, right. And then suddenly dawned on me slowly, as it took a bit of a while to wake up, it's the 13th of January. It's a year to the day that I was born again. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah, come on. Because he cares about the little things. Some people here say, well, you know, God's got far too many important things to do to worry about me. I'm struggling at work, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with depression, I'm struggling with whatever. God's far too busy to bother about me. That is, brothers and sisters, that is a lie. That is not true. God is more than capable of looking after little you and me, as well as all sorts of other things. It's a great privilege to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with God. It's the best experience you can ever have. It's the secure hope of being in a relationship with God, that everything is going to be okay. When I became a Christian just before my brother died, I was on my own. I know some of you know this. I was on my own in the bedroom near where my brother lived in Oxford. And I lifted my hand into the air and asked Jesus to come into my life. And everything changed. I'd never read the Bible. No one had preached the gospel to me. On Alpha, you've already heard more than I'd heard then. But it was like a step of faith. I wanted Jesus in my life, and I asked him to come into my life, and I instantly changed. One of the things that happened in those moments, I absolutely knew in that moment that nothing was going to be the same again, that it was all going to be good for me, that nothing bad was going to happen to me that would affect me or disappoint me or let me down. It's absolute hope that I was going to be the husband that I'd always wanted to be, that I was going to be the dad that I'd always wanted to be, because I'd failed 1,000 times. Anybody know what that's like? When you try to change yourself, you try to be different, you make a new start, turn over a new leaf, try 1,000 times and fail, and then again and fail and again and fail. And to have that completely wiped out is an amazing thing. To have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us. For through him, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's access at all times. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go to a minister, a vicar or a priest or whatever, to get access to God. When you're born of the Holy Spirit, you have immediate access, long before mobile phones and the internet were invented and you could get access to all sorts. You can get access to Almighty God immediately. You don't get put in a queue. You ever been on one of them, those insane, and I'm afraid to say, demonic phone numbers where you phone it and they play your music to torture you and put you on hold, and then some voice comes on, you are in a queue. No, I'm not. I'm in my kitchen. And I'm on the phone and I want to speak to somebody. No, I'm in a queue. Well, it's not like that with God. It's immediate access to him. And he listens to us all the time. I was praying one day, I was at work, and the guy I shared an office with wasn't interested in anything that to do with Christianity. He never came to any meetings or anything. And I just thought, I said, oh God, you're going to have to move him. Now, I wasn't saying, Lord, I beseech you that you would come down and answer me. I wasn't praying like that. I was just like a throwaway comment. Oh, God, you're going to have to get rid of him. And he moved. I mean, he came up to me a few days later and said, I've got this new job and I'm moving. And I sort of thought, oh, right, okay, well, God's really answering me now. I better make sure that, you know, I get the right person into the office instead. So I started praying, God, bring the next person that comes in my office. They've got to be interested. You know, they've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. They've got to be open to Jesus. They've got to give their life to Jesus and be saved. And there he is, Tom. Yeah. Yay, come on. He wants a relationship with us. He enables us to understand God's word, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, to know him better, to understand the word of God, to read the Bible and to understand it. I said before about, you know, becoming a Christian is like coming into a family where we have the same Father. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, with love and joy and peace and patience and all of these wonderful things overflowing. It's a nice little illustration Martin mentioned about, you know, when you squeeze and under pressure, Jesus comes out, Holy Spirit comes out. That's awesome. That's exactly what it's like. When you're under pressure, then you really know what God's like. Well, I've travelled around the world a little bit in a Christian context and been to different places and seen Christians. They're exactly the same. We went on holiday one time to some. We went over to Rome. We went to St. Peter's Basilica. Went into a Catholic mass in the Basilica. Gorgeous little place in this little chapel at the side. And there were two nuns in there. One nun was probably mid-20s. The other one probably well into her 70s. And the one in the 70s was stood with both arms in the air. This is during a Catholic mass in Latin, right? She's worshipping God. She's full of God and worshipping him. The other nun, slightly younger, stood a little bit to the side. She's got her hands out like this. Martin was saying about, you know, opening our hands out to the Holy Spirit. And she was standing, receiving the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Mass. Beautiful. Been to South America, saw Christians. We went to a service, a guest service, where the gospel was being preached. 70,000 people. That's quite something to see. 70,000 people. It was like a rock concert. It was absolutely amazing, the gospel being preached. 70,000 people, all with their hands in the air, in the pouring rain when we went. Remember, you know, I've been to a church in St. Petersburg in Russia. Same. People filled with the Holy Spirit, worshipping God. We're all exactly the same. Wherever we go in the world, we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit into his likeness. The Holy Spirit is working on us to make us more like him. That's a nice thought, isn't it? Being transformed by him. We don't have to do it. I don't have to transform myself. I have to find ways to be more like Jesus. I don't have to strive to be more like him. The Holy Spirit is working in me, making me more like Jesus. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit does that for you as well. He does it. It's a nice thought, isn't it? Somebody else doing all of the hard work. I was a tough nut to crack. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, change me and change you as well. You notice in different denominations, you know, people talk about, oh, these different denominations, why can't the church agree? And you know what? Churches are no different. Any type of denominational church, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You get two types of people in there. Those people that are born again and know Jesus, and those people that don't. That's it. There's only two types of people on planet Earth. Those that know Jesus and are born again, and those that aren't. That's it. We're sociologists. We study sociology and teach sociology at the university. And it's all about different people groups. And we're kind of going against ourselves in teaching it. It all sounds right. But we know there's only two types of people. Those that know Jesus and those that don't. That would make things easy, wouldn't it? Those that know Jesus and those that don't. We shouldn't take ourselves so seriously. There are so many other important groups in society. It's just those that know Jesus and those that don't. Those that are in the family and those that aren't. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit for all of us. And when we talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ability to do things, let me just read a little bit. It says, now to each one, this is in the book of Corinthians, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And it's a decision, it's a choice to want to have a relationship with God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit, to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we give you the opportunity later on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a choice to want to be filled, to want to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like one of those cards. You see these films, don't you? These James Bond type films where they get a card and that card gives them access to all areas. It's that kind of access. Access to God. Access to all of the gifts that come from heaven. You have access to all of them at all times. It's like everything. When I was in the army, I spent a year with the SAS, and when we were in Northern Ireland, we were like undercover work, and which just meant we grow our hair long and wore civilian clothes. I didn't do anything more exciting than that. But one of the things we had was an armory, a weapons room, where you could go and take whatever you wanted when you're going out. It's a bit like those films with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he has a special room in his house with loads of weapons. It was exactly like that, and you'd go in, you could take whatever you wanted, and I thought, well, this is fantastic. So I went and I stuck a 9mm pistol in the back of my pants, and, you know, stuck a couple of magazines in my pockets, and, you know, another machine gun round me on a, you know, a thing round my waist, hanging down my side. I could hardly move. I was that heavy. I thought, if anybody shoots me, the bullets will just bounce off anyway. And it was just like, you could take whatever you wanted. It was fantastic. And it's exactly like that with God, only quite a bit less scary, I have to say. You can access anything. It's all for you. You know, it's really important with the Holy Spirit that you don't think, well, after all the good people have got all the good gifts, you know, I'll just take what's left over. He gives us the power to witness to people. It's a growing family. He empowers us to witness for him. It's power for service, power to do things. I'll just tell you one little story. It's to do with how God speaks to people and how important we are to people. A number of years ago, I was out riding my bike, and I had my youngest son with me at the time, who was about 14 or 15. And we cycled across this field down by the river. And there was a guy there who was drunk, and he was looking at me. He said, oh, you took your time riding across that field, didn't you? And, you know, I had my shorts on, so I just sort of pointed at my false leg and said, well, you know, I've got a false leg. Just pull out the disabled card when you're under pressure. And I said, you know, it takes a bit of time doing that. Anyway, we got on our bikes and we rode back. And I looked back at him. And I felt God speak to me. I didn't know this right immediately, but I just felt these words come into my mind. Who's going to tell him about Jesus? And I thought, yeah, who's going to tell him about Jesus? And the words came into my mind again. Who's going to tell him about Jesus? I'm looking about now, yeah. Who's going to tell him about Jesus? There's only me now, Mike, there. So now I thought, oh, maybe God's speaking to me. So I said to Mike, I'm going back across this field and I'm going to tell that man about Jesus. He said, what are you going to say? I said, I don't know. He said, what's he going to do? I said, I don't know. He said, I'll wait here. So I got on my bike, rode across the field. By this time, he sat down by the water's edge. I sat down next to him. And I tell you, on the way over there, I was thinking, am I right? You know, I had pictures of my false leg floating down the river without me. And I might go home in tears. Anyway, I sat down next to him and said, hi, my name's Stuart. I'm a Christian. Now, I don't believe we've met by chance today. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And he sort of went a bit soft. I said, oh, my name's Gary. I've heard about Jesus in prison. And we got chatting about a number of things. And he came to church a week later. He was an alcoholic, this guy. He came to church a week later when a friend of ours, who was an ex-alcoholic, Graham, who some of you know, was preaching. And this lad, Gary, gave his life to the Lord. He told me later, I found out later, he went down to that river that day to kill himself because he'd had a young son that had died in an accident and he just couldn't handle it. And his life had just fallen apart since that moment. So he went down to the river where he used to play as a kid to kill himself. He'd just finished drinking a bottle of cider and he'd sat down on the water's edge and was just thinking about going into the water when I sat down next to him. Now, from God's perspective, isn't that awesome? And this is really important that you know this, that God wants to use you like that. And you learn to hear the voice of God. You learn to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do amazing and wonderful things for him and for the people that he loves. So we just pray. Yeah, thank you, Father, that you love every single person in this room absolutely equally. Every single person in here is like your favorite child. You have no favorites, Lord. We're all exactly the same. You love us all so much. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to come by your Holy Spirit and touch every heart in this place. Maybe you want to just open your hands on your lap like Martin suggested earlier. Just as a sign to Jesus that you're welcoming him into your heart. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. Touch every person in here. Encourage every person in here. By your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a break for lunch. Oh, small groups first, yeah. If you're going to your small groups, is there anything to say about small groups, Maureen? Does everybody know where they're going? Okay. Small groups and then we'll have lunch. Thank you.